Well, I am happy to be here. Thank you, Dean, for translating. Thank you also for the invitation. I send greetings from Pilgrim Church in Manayunk. I want to remind you that I deeply appreciated being here a little bit more than a year ago. I had heard of coronavirus, but didn't know much about it. And if you remember, we stayed after worship and you prayed. I will never forget that prayer meeting. Only later did I understand all the pain and suffering in the room that day. I left with a heavy heart. But I also felt blessed and honored to be part of your pain that day. Thank you. My text today is Lamentations chapter 2. I'm asking, what's God's plan for my grief? It's not to deny it. It's not to minimize it. Or pretending that grief and bad things happen only to people who make bad decisions. Or who don't work hard enough. Or don't believe in Jesus enough. To see into Lamentations 2, we want to trust and love Jesus more than anything, learning to grieve by surveying, and saying our pain. So today it's survey and say. There is a famous American game show. Called Family Feud. During the game, the audience takes surveys. And the players have to guess what the audience answered. The host will say, survey says, and survey say is what we hear and see in Lamentations 2. Right. This is an unusual book, and I'm sure you haven't heard sermons from Lamentations before. So let me give you just a little bit of background on Lamentations. Lamentations was written because Israel lost. Refreshingly, she knows she lost and she takes the blame. In the year 587 BC, the Lord sent the Babylonians to destroy the southern part of Israel. This is a deeply sad time for Israel. Most of her people now live far away in Babylon. There was a handful that still lived in Jerusalem. But think of how that must have been. No leaders, no Sabbaths, no weddings, no schools, no temple. For all intents and purposes, God's covenant with Israel was over. Because the day of the Lord's wrath had come. The Lord's wrath comes up at verse 1 and verse 22. If you're like me, you don't like to talk about loss and pain. I used to run track in high school. We were terrible. After every meet we lost, our coach sat us down and walked through why we lost. We did not like those meetings. But that was her job. So with the poet singer of Lamentations. You'll note there's 22 verses because there's 22 Hebrew letters in the alphabet. That's not done to help us memorize. But to give shape to our grief. It shows a complete range of suffering. Maybe you've suffered serious loss. Or you've known trauma of some sort. One of the ways we respond is to survey the situation. EMTs, fire, police, they do the same thing when they arrive at a crisis. Jerusalem, as the sufferer, lists all kinds of sounds, structures, and symbols of sorrow. The poet weaves a powerful punch in the gut. Let's read the first 10 verses. Sorry, Jeff. Thank you. Dean, I'll go a verse at a time. Okay. How the Lord in his anger has set the daughter of Zion under a cloud. He has cast down from heaven to earth the splendor of Israel. He has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up without mercy all the habitations of Jacob. In his wrath, he's broken down the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought down to the ground in dishonor the kingdom and its rulers. He has cut down in fierce anger all the might of Israel. He's withdrawn from them his right hand in the face of the enemy. He's burned like a flaming fire in Jacob, consuming all around. He has bent his bow like an enemy, with his right hand set like a foe. And he has killed all who were delightful in our eyes in the tent of the daughter of Zion. He has poured out his fury like fire. The Lord has become like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all its palaces, laid its ruins in ruins its strongholds. He has multiplied in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. He has laid waste his booth like a garden, laid in ruins his meeting place. The Lord has made Zion forget festival and Sabbath, and in his fierce indignation has spurned king and priest. The Lord has scorned his altar, disowned his sanctuary. He's delivered into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They raised a clamor in the house of the Lord as on the day of festival. The Lord determined to lay in ruins the wall of the daughter of Zion. He stretched out the measuring line. He did not restrain his hand from destroying. He caused rampart and wall to lament. They languished together. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has ruined and broken her bars. Her kings and princes are among the nations. The law is no more. Her prophets find no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground in silence. They've thrown dust on their heads. They've put on sackcloth. The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. Thank you. We start in the dirt. As bad as it is for the queen of God's people, Jerusalem, she is beaten and bruised and lying in the dust. Not just one day, but continually in that season after the exile. This is the fact half of the chapter. We've all seen surveyors at work. They begin by setting out their tripod in the dirt. In Genesis, we hear a survey of the land of promise by reference to the trees and the landmarks. We took a survey of the wilderness as Israel walked through the wilderness after the Exodus. God thinks place matters. And the place of your pain matters. That's what's in the mind of the poet singer in these verses. Briefly, verse 1. All is in a cloud. As if God is steaming his anger all around Jerusalem. Two, like some giant tunneling tool. The Lord has torn through Israel. Strongholds are all torn down. The great people are in the dirt. Verse 3, was it sticking up like a horn out of an animal's head? If it was sticking up, it got cut down to size. The Lord's wrath through Babylon has been like a fire. Four, the beautiful are gone. The tent or the home of daughter Zion is flattened. Five, maybe a palace would be safe from God's wrath? No, pulled down into a pile of rubble. God's temple is gone. No more festivals, no more Sabbaths. In 7, God does not accept sacrifice anymore. There's no more altar. And his enemies are cheering where the singers in the temple used to sing. In 8, the surveyor's line is stretched out to get the job done accurately. The Lord accurately gets everything down in the dust. We see the Lord's surveying line in Ezekiel, Amos, Isaiah, Kings. This teaches us that there is nothing sloppy about the Lord's destruction. In verse 9, the gates around the city, they're gone. Israel used to praise God for breaking bars of iron for their enemies. But God now breaks Israel's bars. Now, to finish our survey of Jerusalem's destruction, verse 10, whatever elders are still around, they are sitting on the ground with dust on their head, sackcloth as clothes. And if you were a young woman at the time, instead of singing in the temple, you'd be bowing your head down to the dust.
性的，他们也在唱不了什么，只有低头在地下。
Now, I know we are not in exile like Israel.
当然，我知道我们现在不像以色列当时被。
And we only hear lamentations through the work of Jesus. I want us to think of surveying with the clothes of Jesus on us. We claim the power of His Spirit to understand the Old Covenant rightly. So trusting and loving Jesus now is how we go into the pain of looking, naming, and fixing our pain in our hearts again. It's how we share it with others too. We survey the pain. The old song teaches, when I survey the wondrous cross. On which the Prince of Glory died. When I survey the cross, it means taking time looking at it, understanding its meaning, relating to His pain. One pastor and theologian I appreciate counsels followers of Jesus to survey not only what makes things painful, but to use the pain to understand ourselves better. Asking, why have I responded this way? What have I picked up from my parents, my schooling, my culture? He calls it going backwards to go forwards. As we do, we find a wall where we crash into God's plan for our life. Walls in our story are where God stops us. Things happen that are out of our control.
很多我们无法控制的事情，就是会发生。
Those are the times where God can deeply transform us and our understanding of Him. I know it hurts. Be sure you take the time to survey what pain the Lord has allowed into your life. Let me go on to verses 11 through 22. My eyes are spent with weeping. My stomach churns. My bile is poured out to the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because infants and babies faint in the streets of the city. They cry to their mothers, "Where is bread and wine?" as they faint like a wounded man in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out on their mother's bosom. What can I say for you? To what compare you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What can I liken to you that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is vast as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not exposed your iniquity to restore your fortunes, but have seen for you oracles that are false and misleading. All who pass along the way clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth? All your enemies rail against you. They hiss, they gnash their teeth, they cry, "We have swallowed her! Ah, this is the day we long for! Now we have seen it! We see it!" The Lord has done what He purposed. He has carried out His word, which He commanded long ago. He has thrown down without pity. He's made the enemy rejoice over you and exalted the might of your foes. Their heart cried to the Lord, "O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears stream down like a torrent day and night. Give yourself no rest, your eyes no respite."
Zion's heart 愿你流泪如何昼夜不息，愿你眼睛的瞳仁流泪不止。
Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to Him for the lives of your children who faint for hunger at the head of every street.
夜间没能交通的时候，要起来呼喊，在主面前倾心如水。你的孩子还在这个时候上发受恶发昏，你要为他们的心灵向主举手祷告。
Look, O Lord, and see, with whom have you dealt thus? Should woman eat the fruit of their womb, the children of their tender care? Should priest and prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? In the dust of the streets lie the young and the old. My young women and my young men have fallen by the sword. You've killed them in the day of your anger, slaughtering without pity. You summoned as if to a festival day my terrors on every side. And on the day of the anger of the Lord, no one escaped or survived. Those whom I held and raised, my enemy destroyed. Now, a quick glance shows that the speaker is talking, referring to others' talk, and to God's past talk. This half of the chapter is the interpretation half. The first half was survey. The second half, say. Notice God doesn't speak either. I would ask you, what would you want him to say? In bird watching, the first job is to hold still. Eventually, a bird will move in the trees. God seems silent here so that daughter Zion can speak. A few more words from the narrator first. Verse 11. Daughter Zion is emotionally and physically sick.
Right.
Her eyes are faucets of tears. Though many are dead and the rest exiled, there are some little children around. They are not well. And our hearts should break for them. It's not fair. When God holds covenant promises to a covenant people, and the response is, who cares? The covenant Lord will send Babylon in response. That's what happened in that generation. Parents, let this bother you and keep you up late at night. Israel's God does not accept a who cares response from anyone. Here, children suffer from the parents' poor response to the Lord. Verse 12, the little ones say, where's the food and drink? They're hungry and they say so. In 13, the narrator says, what am I supposed to say to you, daughter Zion? Your wound is as deep as the sea. But here in 13, the word comfort comes up as well. So we know the narrator will use words to bring comfort. Verse 14, first he says, you were lied to. Your prophets prophesied lies. 15, once you were destroyed by Babylon, you were mocked by all your neighbors. This added to Jerusalem's pain. This is not what we say when others suffer. The mocking continues in verse 16. Israel's enemies think they swallowed Israel up. But earlier we heard Zion say, the Lord swallowed her up. In 17, we hear that it's the Lord's word that matters. The Lord saw this day coming and warned Israel about it in Deuteronomy. In 18, now it's time to speak. So Zion will say to the Lord what her heart is feeling. In 19, don't sleep, it's too urgent. Say to the Lord what crushes your heart. Like the tears that can't stop, let the words to the Lord go on and on. And for your children, beg the Lord. And in 20, she says, Lord, look at the results. You can't like this. Mothers should not give birth to then eat their babies. The temple should not be a place where prophets and priests are killed. But notice the hope. There is hope. The Lord will not allow any more of this. And as Dr. Paul House shows us, notice there is no other God mentioned in Lamentations 2. Every other nation had many gods. And where one God wouldn't listen, they would call another God. Not in Israel. Mm-hmm. 21. Now, for words used throughout the chapter, concentrated here in this verse. Daughter Zion, who represents all of Israel, she is accepting reality and saying so. People are lying in the street dead, young and old.
They
不管是年轻的还是老的，全部都是躺在地上的。
She boldly says, "You have done this, Lord." She wants the Lord to see it and end that misery. In 22, at the end, even the ones she's given birth to are no longer. Yet, the hope is clear too. Our closest relationships, parent to child, these will suffer all sorts of trouble. And such can draw us back to the heart of God. We don't want to read this book quickly just to get out of our pain. The best example of that in Scripture is where Lamentations points to Jesus' life and death. Jesus shows no signs of rushing through life. He doesn't ignore pain. He doesn't reframe it as something that's good. He doesn't sound off about all the evils of the Roman Empire in order to feel better. Jesus' way is to say his pain to his Father. Or once, when surveying the city of Jerusalem, he says out loud for all to hear, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you." "How often I have longed to gather your children together." "As a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." "But you were not willing." "Look, your house is left to you destroyed." And by Jesus' resurrection, we know he now is the eternal temple of God. And he still carries the marks of his crucifixion in his hands.
耶稣的身体仍然还是背着被钉在十字架的这些痕迹。
As we survey and say, let me give you three simple things to do this week.
我们要好好的看着，好好面对我们这些悲伤，大家要说出来的。让我给你们三个很简单能做到的事情。
First, find a person with whom that you may speak pain.
首先，第一，我们需要找另外一个人，是我们可以把心里话说出来的，把痛苦说出来。
Pour your hearts out to Jesus Christ.
我们要把我们的心思跟我们的难处全部都说出来，交给耶稣。
But find a brother or sister who's familiar with suffering and can hear your pain too. I know grief. I know being wounded. I'm sure your leaders and their spouses know grief and being wounded. They're being wounded and they're following Jesus is far more important than where they stand on all the hot topics. I know they are privileged to hear your pain, willing to sit with you and show you the basics of grief. To take time. To situate yourself. To in silence survey the pain. And to speak and say your questions and confusion to the Lord. That's person. Now, a place. Look for a place in your home or outside your home where you can go and be sad before the Lord Jesus. Maybe choose a certain seat. It includes basic actions. Maybe bowing our heads. Crying out with a loud voice. Arms raised. And then when some time has passed, moving back into life.
Okay. So the body is again by comfort, not so to that. Okay, so
we've spoken of person and place, and now time. As a church, I recommend one day a week as called Grief Day. On that day, as you bow before the Lord, alone or with others, or with your Bible study, or your household, or your sister on the phone. Grieve together the pain, suffering, and disappointment you feel. Tuesday is my day to grieve. An article in last week's New York Times reminds us if Jesus showed us his scars even after the resurrection, we can learn to integrate pain and suffering into our lives. This will free us from wasting time in denial and shame. God's plan for your grief is to trust and love Jesus so much that we grieve by surveying and saying our pain. Lament is a Christian way of praying. So that the church will not give way to triumphalism. Or pride. Or an unwillingness to see pain in our human existence. May Jesus bless PBRC as they struggle to survey and say their pain this season. Thank you.
谢谢。